everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory. He is the best-selling author of more than 60 books, including You Can Lead an Atheist to Evidence, But You Can't Make Him Think. His booklet, The Atheist Test, has sold more than 1 million copies, and is soon to be released, God, Hitler, and the Bible, is sure to ignite much-needed discussion for those content to ignore the annihilation of over 6 million Jews as if it never happened. But this is not what we will be talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, in part one of my two-part conversation with author, movie producer, evangelist, speaker, and co-host of Way of the Master television broadcast with actor Kirk Cameron, and founder and president of Living Waters Ministries, and my honored guest, Mr. Ray Comfort. Ray, welcome to Testimony.
Boy, with an introduction like that, I can't wait to hear myself.
Ray, you have produced an explosive and controversial documentary called 180 that we are here to talk about today that has literally gone viral in just a few months with over 1 million hits. I'd like to play a clip of that now for our listeners and then bring you back, Ray, to talk about what everyone is talking about and why.
Imagine if you could change society's stance on abortion.
How do you feel about the issue of abortion?
I think in some situations it can be necessary.
So have you just changed your mind about abortion?
Yeah.
What was it?
I believe that people have the right to choose.
That changed their minds.
Yes, I've just changed my mind about abortion.
So you're going to vote differently in future?
In a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
You mean that?
Yeah.
Find out.
When you put it that way, it does change your mind.
Go to 180movie.com for details.
Wow, Ray, that is explosive. Can you tell us what all the controversy is about? And then for part two of our time here together, I'd like to give our listeners a peek into your own personal life and how you came to faith in Jesus Christ as a Jew. But let's talk about 180, Ray. We are all ears.
I told the publishers of Hitler, God, and the Bible, WorldNet Daily, that I'd give them a video to go along with a book called Hitler's Religion. So I took a camera, went on the streets, and asked people, who was Adolf Hitler and what do you know about him? Came back with 14 interviews, mainly college students, of people who didn't know who Adolf Hitler was. It blew me away. I thought, what planet are these people from? And then, when I was doing research for the book, I came across an incident where the Nazis horrifically shot a whole lot of Jews in a pit and then buried some of them when they were still alive with bulldozers. So I thought, I'm going to put people in a moral dilemma and see if they would do that. So I put the camera on people and said, with a Nazi pointing a gun at your face, would you get in a bulldozer and bury Jews alive? And when people said, no, I could never do that, I'd ask, is it because you value human life? And if they said yes, I'd say, how do you feel about abortion? And people would say, oh, it's a woman's right to choose. And I'd say, do you think it's a baby in the womb? And they'd say, yes. And then I asked them one question that caused them to change their minds about the pro-life issue. So we ended up with 8 people on camera who were adamantly pro-abortion, becoming pro-life in a matter of seconds because I asked them one question. So we immediately changed the name from Hitler's Religion to 180 because these people were doing a complete turnaround, put it on YouTube, and within 20 days we got over 1 million views. And we're very, very excited. We've got literally thousands of emails from people, and many of them have said just through watching it that they've changed their minds about this issue of abortion.
Well, I've viewed the movie, and it is unbelievable. You have commendations from every major ministry, and I read a post just a little bit before our broadcast here today that a woman decided not to have an abortion after viewing the 180 movie.
Yeah, that just thrills the heart. We've got a number like that. People that said, I was on my way to have an abortion. Someone showed me the 33-minute movie, and I changed my mind. And the lady said, I burst into tears and said, I can't believe that I was going to murder my child. And that is just thrilling to know that this movie is doing the work for us. You know, many good Germans no doubt lost their lives in World War II because they stood outside a concentration camp and just asked questions. What's happening in here? And probably they were shot for that. We don't need to pay such a price. We can just use our fingers on the keyboard and see people touched, because the movie can do the talking for us by just sending them the website 180movie.com and saying, this is an award-winning 33-minute video. It's a life changer. Let me know what you think. And just sending it all over the place. And that's why this has gone viral, because people who care have done that.
Well, it's amazingly produced and documented. You've received some criticism, though, from the Anti-Defamation League. Can you talk about that?
Yes. they were very... I'm Jewish, and they're Jewish, and they were very angry at me because I had compared the Jewish Holocaust to America's Holocaust with abortion. And there is a comparison. It's legitimate. I think they're wrong in their criticism. When it comes to numbers, nearly 10 times the amount of Americans don't exist. Their life was taken from them because it's legal to kill children in the womb in America. Also, when I studied Hitler for the book, I thought I'd uncover why he hated the Jews. Why did he kill so many? It made no sense. And all I found were theories. He was jealous of the Jews because they were able to make money during the Depression. He had a VD because he had... I had a Jewish prostitute in his youth, and these different theories. But I think I've uncovered something that's really talked about, and that is every time Hitler killed a Jewish family, he seized their assets. He seized their house, their car, their savings, their jewelry, their paintings, the gold out of their teeth, the hair from their head. He made a lot of money every time he killed a Jewish family. In fact, he made billions, and 30% of his war effort, according to experts, was financed by the blood of the Jews. Mm-hmm. And also, with American abortion, there is the same motive. If you want your 16-week baby killed in the womb, it'll cost you $765. But if it's 19 weeks, just 3 weeks later, it's going to cost you nearly three times that amount, $2,165 for them to kill the baby. These are the going prices. You can check them out at your local abortion clinic through the websites. And it's easy work. It's just a matter of 10, 15 minutes of ripping off the arms, the legs, the head, and then assembling them on a table and dropping them in a bucket. And do 10, 15 a day. It's big money. In fact, the abortion industry makes billions of dollars, and through what it does. So the love of money still is the root of all evil, and that was Hitler's big motivation, and it's American abortion's a motivation. So we can see that the comparison between the two is legitimate.
Well, this is a powerful tool against abortion. Are you working with organizations to get your 180 movie into abortion clinics?
Yeah, it's going all over the place, but I'm pretty sad to say that we're still preaching the choir. It's had nearly 1.6 million views, but CNN, NBC, ABC, Fox, all those secular media channels haven't gone near it as yet. But I'm prepared to jump off the Empire State Building with 180 in my mouth to get it on the news. So I'm just waiting for God to open up doors. And I have to put me on a panel with pro-abortion people. I don't care. I just want to be able to say that website address and say to people, you go and check it out for yourself.
Well, I believe that's going to happen for you, Ray. I know that this broadcast will air from Palm Springs as well as Las Vegas and Israel. So you will be global with this testimony that you are sharing with us today. You know, I love the comment and your unique way of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The questions that you are given, do you believe God gives you these questions? There seems to be an extra special anointing on you like no other I have ever heard.
Well, I don't want to have myself put on a pedestal because anybody can do this. I got together with Kay Arthur and Randy Elkhorn, and we produced a 180 course in which people can learn these principles. All you need is a desire to learn and a heart for the unborn and for the unsaved, and you can do it. It's just a matter of asking questions. What actually is happening in the video, though people probably don't realize this, is that all I'm doing is appealing to the God-given conscience that God has given to each human being. Every one of us has written on our heart, you shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not commit adultery, and it also has, you shall not murder or kill. And so that's what's being appealed to, and people are receiving knowledge that they haven't had before. For instance, I could probably make you change your mind about something you're pretty sure of by giving you some extra knowledge. If I said to you, could you show me where up is, you'd probably point above your head And I'd say, I think I can change your belief about that with just a little bit of knowledge. I'm from New Zealand, down under.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone down under, the direction you're pointing is actually not up. It's down, because we're on this big ball called the Earth. So you could realize now that there's no such thing as up or down. It's relative to where you stand on the face of this Earth. And so because this knowledge comes to you, you can change your mind about something you were sure of just a couple of minutes earlier. Exactly the same happens on the video. People are sure that it's a woman's choice. So I just give them knowledge they haven't had before, and that gives them the ability to do a complete 180 and change their mind about something they were totally sure of a few minutes earlier.
How easy or difficult is it for you when you are evangelizing on the streets or in your daily blog or on your television broadcast? How easy or difficult is it for you when you know that only 4% of those in the United States even pick up a Bible to read it?
Yeah, well, that's why I go out on the streets, because I don't like preaching to the choir. I want to go out and mingle with the lost. Jesus said to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've got the mentality that we're to bring sinners to church, and yet that's like bringing criminals to a police station. They're not going to feel comfortable. They love the darkness. They hate the light. Neither will they come to the light. They said he's be exposed. So what we've got to do is obey the Great Commission and go into the world, take the light into the darkness. And you ask me if it's easy for me. Yes and no. It's like saying to a racing driver as he goes around the track at 200 miles an hour, is it easy for you? You say, yeah, it's the second nature, because I've spent thousands of hours practicing. And that's exactly what it's like with me. I've put my foot in my mouth many times, but if I seem eloquent, it's just because I've been practicing what I've preached for the last 30, 40 years. And anyone can do this if they practice what they preach. So get the 180 course, learn these principles, and then try it on your dog, try it in the mirror, try it in the shower. Just practice what you preach. And it's just a matter of asking people questions. You can go up to a stranger and say, hey, how you doing? Find out their name and say, what do you think happens after someone dies? You haven't mentioned God, Jesus, the Bible, heaven or hell. You just ask them for their favorite subject, their opinion. And let them talk and then ask questions after that. And these are very simple principles, but they sure take the heat out of it when it comes to sharing your faith.
Well, that is beautifully communicated. Ray, what do you want to say to our listeners before we end this segment of our broadcast today? And next week, we're bringing you back to share your personal testimony of faith, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ. Give us some contact information, how we can get the 180 video, and what we all can do as Christians to help support your effort.
Well, you can support us with prayer, and also realize that we gave away 180,000 copies of the DVD at 100 top universities across the country just in one day. And you can do exactly the same thing, because we make them available for $1 each on a website called HeartChanger.com. HeartChanger.com. We can also get that course where you can learn these principles. And also, totally freely, you can view 180 on 180movie.com. But view it with the intent to pass it on and realize you do have the world at your fingertips. You can move a mountain with your mouth by just passing this on to others and telling them to watch it and pass it on, and you'll see the fruit of your labors. People get back and say, wow, this changed my attitude to abortion and made me think about eternity. And that is tremendously satisfying when you're a Christian to know that others are hearing the sound of the gospel and thinking about their eternity.
Well, Ray, I want to thank you for being with us on Testimony. We look forward to having you with us next week to share more of your incredible story. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Comfort of the 180 Movie. Thank you, Ray, and God bless you.
Thank you.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony. He is a Jewish New Zealander whose unique and groundbreaking ways of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ have brought him before a nationwide audience and in over 70 countries, NBC Nightline, the BBC. Through his Living Way Ministries organization, over 60 books authored, and his latest explosive documentary, The 180 Movie, exposing the ravages of abortion when compared to the Holocaust. After viewing this amazing documentary, hearts are changed, lives are turned toward Christ, and the decision not to abort is made. It is a great honor to have with us today author, evangelist, speaker, movie producer, and co-host with Kirk Cameron, Way of the Master, Mr. Ray Comfort. Ray, thank you for being with us on Testimony today.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Ray, it's really an honor to have you share. I loved our conversation in part one that talked about your explosive 180 movie that has gone viral with over a million hits in just a few short months. And now I've just been advised that Daystar Television has aired it globally. www.180movie.com for those who just may have tuned in. This segment of our story, we want to hear your story, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and then let's pick up some more about the 180 movie and some issues today that need to be addressed that you do so beautifully. Ray, please tell us your story.
Well, I was born for the first time in 1949, 4 years after the Second World War. My mother was a full Jew. She married a Gentile and was kicked out of the family when she did so. And when I was born, they had the memory of the Holocaust in their minds, so they put Methodist on my birth certificate rather than Jewish. And then I wasn't brought up with any Christian upbringing whatsoever, or Jewish upbringing. I was left to myself, except for an aunt when I was 7 years old, taught me the Lord's Prayer. And I found myself very, very happy as a non-Christian, enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season, having the freedom to have my own business at the age of 20. I could slap a note on the door, go on surfing. I had my own home, lovely wife, everything I could ever want, total freedom. And yet I realized I was like a turkey waiting for Thanksgiving. That I was going to end up the fate of being on a plate one day. I was part of the ultimate statistic, 10 out of 10 die. And one day, it was one evening, I sat on my bed, watched my bride of about a year old, we'd been married for a year at that time, looked at her and tears just poured down my cheeks as I realized that death could seize upon her at any moment, could take me, and we'd never see each other again. And I remember just thinking, why? What is the point of life if we're all waiting around to die? It seemed like I was in a holding cell, waiting to be executed. Big blue roof, nice lighting, good air conditioning. You can go surfing and enjoy the pleasures of this life, but we're all going to die. And I thought there was no answer. I remember I looked to science and realized all scientists die. I thought, well, perhaps the medical profession can help me, and I went to see my local doctor just to see how I could take care of myself and live a long, healthy life. And as I walked into his room, he was sitting there looking like death warmed up with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. A few years later, he was dead. So I just felt hopeless, just absolutely helpless and hopeless in the face of death, in this dark pit waiting to die. And April the 25th, 1972, 1:30 in the morning, God reached down with light into the darkness and gloriously saved me. I remember I was confronted with the Ten Commandments, particularly where Jesus said in Matthew 5, you've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. And I remember thinking, well, I've never committed adultery. I'll be fine on Judgment Day. And then I heard his words. But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. It was like an arrow hit me in the chest. I thought, I'm guilty a million times over. If God has seen my thought life on Judgment Day, I'm going to be guilty and I'm going to hell. And then it was explained to me by a young man that Christ died for my sins, that I violated God's law, the Ten Commandments. God's a judge. I was heading for a prison, a place called hell, without parole, but Jesus stepped in and paid my fine in full. And what happened on that cross is that the Son of God, the perfect, sinless Son of God, took my punishment, took my sin upon himself, suffered for me, rose again on the third day, and now God could dismiss my case because my fine was paid by another. And so that night I repented of my sins, as the Bible tells us to. I put my trust in Jesus Christ. I was made a brand new person on the inside. I had a new heart, new desires, born again, and I began witnessing immediately to my family, friends, strangers. About a year after that, 2 years after that, I began open-air preaching. Did that almost every day for nearly 12 years in the heart of our local city. And then we were invited to move to Southern California, where we moved over in 1989. And because someone heard a teaching called Hell's Best Kept Secret. That was heard by Bill Gothard in Chicago. He shared it with via video to 30,000 pastors, and David Wilkerson also heard it and flew me to New York from L.A. to share the teaching in his church. And so that gave us an established ministry almost overnight throughout the U.S. And then Kirk Cameron heard Hell's Best Kept Secret back in the year 2001 in October, and he called in one of the combined ministries. A year later, he preached my teaching from my notes, Hell's Best Kept Secret, on TBN. And the next day, our website got over a million hits in one day. And it's just been history since then. We produced a television program, which is in 70 countries, 42 networks, and we're on our fourth season. It's won 7 awards, and we're both, Kirk and I, astounded and thrilled with what God has done, because this is a program about evangelism, and I've always said that the world, the church has as much excitement for the word evangelism as the world has for the word righteousness. And yet people are really appreciating this program.
That's phenomenal. Did your wife come to Jesus immediately?
She was a false conversion. She actually took me to church, and I remember saying to her, "Sweetheart, it is so boring, I cannot stand it." And she backslid, or she hadn't slid forward in the first place because she was a false convert, but she gave her life to Christ shortly after I did.
Now, explain what you mean by false convert for our listeners. And for those who may just have tuned in, you're listening to Ray Comfort, producer of the phenomenal and controversial The 180 movie. What do you mean by that?
Well, most Christians don't even know there's such a thing as true and false conversion, but the Bible teaches it from beginning to end, particularly in the parable of the sower, where Jesus said some receive the word with joy and gladness, some receive the word and last for a time. And we have churches that are filled with these what's called stony ground hearers, people that believe and receive the word with joy and gladness, but at a time of tribulation, temptation, they fall away. Judas was like that. Some people say Judas was a believer that fell away. Well, Jesus said of Judas, "One of you is a devil." Well, there's a good clue, something is wrong. And they're actually hypocrites, people that they don't let go of their sins because they haven't been confronted with the moral law, the Ten Commandments, to show them how evil sin is. And they'll wait until Judgment Day and cry out to Jesus, "Lord, Lord," and he'll say, "Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, I never knew you." They name the name of Christ, but they don't depart from the lawlessness. They keep lying and stealing and lusting and blaspheming. They have no real understanding of the nature of sin.
Ray, how does someone stay on the straight and narrow, as it were, for those that are listening who say, "I'm a Christian, I receive Jesus, once saved, always saved, I'm going to heaven, I can live the life that I want to live because Jesus will forgive, forgive, forgive"? What do you say to that person?
Well, that's a delusion. The Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many go in that way." Then he said, "Strive to enter at the straight gate." The word "strive" in the Greek is agonosomai, from which we derive our word agonize. It's not easy to become a Christian, as modern evangelism says. There must be genuine contrition. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. The Bible says, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners." So it's not a matter of asking Jesus into your heart. There's no such thing in Scripture. No one did that. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. That's when you become a Christian. But the way to become a Christian is through repentance. That is genuine contrition, sorrow for your sins, and then turning from your sins, confessing and forsaking your sins, as the Bible says. When you do that, when you let go of your sins and trust alone in Jesus, then you've got assurance that you've passed from death to life. And until that happens, you're deluding yourself. You're playing the hypocrite, and the only one you're really deceiving is yourself, because you're not fooling your friends. You're not even fooling God. So it's very important that we do what the Bible says, examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. And the way to do that is to look for fruit. It's the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of praise, the fruit of thanksgiving, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And if there's no fruit, the Bible warns, every tree that brings not forth good fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. So when you examine yourself, look for the fruit of righteousness. Look for the fruit of holiness and thanksgiving. Are you living for God? Is he first in your life? Do you read his word daily? Do you share your faith with others? Is there a concern for other people? Do you have love in your heart for God and for your fellow man? Because these are the signs that we've passed from death to life. And sadly, many people won't do what the Bible says and examine themselves until the day of judgment, and then it's going to be too late.
What hope can you give to someone that thinks Christianity is boring? They don't want to follow Jesus Christ because it's church as usual. Eat the cookies, drink the Kool-Aid, go home, no change, no power. What do you say to someone like that?
Well, you're like a man who goes to a feast, has nothing to eat, and comes away and says, what a lousy feast. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the way to taste and see the Lord is good is to repent and trust in Jesus. And you won't want to repent unless you understand the nature of sin. So he gives a quick summation of what sin is. If you've ever looked at a woman and lusted for her, you've committed adultery with her in God's eyes. That's how serious God's sin is. To God, sin is. If you've ever taken something from someone else, irrespective of its value, you're a thief. If you've told a lie, you're a liar. And the Bible says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. All liars have their part in the lake of fire. That's how serious sin is to God. If you've ever used God's name lightly, oh my G-O-D, or hit your thumb with a hammer and use the name of Jesus, I would ask you, do you believe that God gave you life? And you'd probably say, yes. I say, are you grateful to him? You say, yes. I say, why then have you used his name as a cuss word? When you hit with your thumb with a hammer, you want to express disgust. So you may say a filth word, or you may say the name of Jesus. In doing so, you bring his name down to the level of that filth word. And that's called blasphemy, and it's very serious in God's sight. And the Old Testament demanded death for such a transgression. And that's the standard you have to face on Judgment Day. And that's why you need a Savior, because you've got a multitude of sins. You've stored up God's wrath that's going to be revealed on the Day of Judgment. The Bible says you're an enemy of God in your mind through wicked works. And all that secret sin is going to come out on the Day of Judgment as evidence of your guilt. So today is the day you need to repent and trust in Christ. And when you trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross, his blood will wash you clean. You'll be perfectly clean and made righteous in the sight of a holy God, so that on the Day of Judgment there'll be no crimes against you, because your fine was paid by another 2,000 years ago. So today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off till tomorrow. You may have an aneurysm in your sleep, a heart attack, hit by a car, and then it's too late. Today, get right with God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Ray Comfort, author of the explosive 180 movie, co-host of The Way of the Master with actor Kirk Cameron. His online ministry, www.livingwaters.com and www.180movie.com. Please get his information. Ray, thank you for being with us today on Testimony. Truly an honor. God bless you.
Thanks, Jensine. Appreciate that.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.